The UK premiere of Bent Sorensen's piece La Martina, played here at the Proms by the pianist Leif Ove Andsnes, with the Norwegian Chamber Orchestra conducted by Per Christian Skalstad. And there's more from Leif Ove later on tonight in the Prom, Mozart's Piano Concerto No. 24. And applause too for the composer Bent Sorensen just making his way onto the stage. He's collaborated with Leif Ove on a number of occasions. The last time we heard his music here at the Proms was actually in 2005, a memorable piece based on Hans Christian Andersen's tale of The Little Mermaid, and we actually had a chorus of mermaids down in the arena with the promenaders. The conductor, Per Christian Skalstad, usually plays violin in the orchestra, but he's a freelance conductor with a number of orchestras in Norway. Leif Ove Andsnes was earlier on telling me about what it's like to get a new piece from Bent Sorensen. He said when you first get the score, it looks really hard to play and it feels like a Bach four-part invention with offbeats in unusual places. He says Bent Sorensen's music is so organic and flowing. And what he loves about this particular piece, La Martina, he says, is the dreamlike landscape, and he feels quite haunted by it. Bent Sorensen was saying to me earlier on today that he thought that this was probably the best concert hall in the world for really soft music, and there were some unbelievably soft passages. And during the rehearsals this morning, we were moving around in different parts of the hall and listening to it, and it really felt like some of those really thin filigree sounds were just floating above us or coming from behind us. Per Christian, the conductor, was also saying that unanimously the orchestra absolutely loved to play it, find it very fulfilling, and of course they enjoyed their doubling parts on claves as well, adding another dimension. Well, as I mentioned earlier on, the Norwegian Chamber Orchestra played Vivaldi's Four Seasons at London's 100 Club last night in London's West End. During our Proms Plus event at the Royal College of Music earlier on this evening, I spoke with them about that and other things, speaking to Isabel van Koenen, Bent Sorensen, and the founder and artistic director of the orchestra, Terje Tønnesen. Terje Tønnesen, you've sold out a rock venue in London and the Royal Albert Hall tonight. Tell me a little bit about why you played Vivaldi as you do.
It started 10 years ago, maybe. I got another engagement playing the Vivaldi Seasons, and that has been played by many others and myself many times before. And so I thought, why? And then I after a little thought, I thought that what is important is maybe to retell the story, or to bring the storytelling back. Then we created this new version out from this fact.
I think you can only really bring something like that off if you have a very particular body of people who are playing it, a great sense of commitment amongst the performers. And Isabel, perhaps I can bring you in here as well. The performers you have in the Norwegian Chamber Orchestra, I think, are rather special people.
Yes, they're incredibly committed, and they're people that really want to do it. I mean, it's not an ordinary ensemble that you have a job in an orchestra, but they do it because they want to play, and most of them have jobs in other orchestras, and they just fill their free time with rehearsing the Norwegian Chamber Orchestra. So there's an awful lot of dedication, and you have rehearsal days where we rehearse 5-6 hours, and people are just getting on to the opera for another 5-hour rehearsal. So and nobody is complaining. So, and I think in the performance you hear that dedication.
Terje, this was very much your project as a founder of the Norwegian Chamber Orchestra. How has it developed over the years?
Well, it's 30 years, so it's a long time with a lot of faces. So it's a very difficult question to answer. We also used to have Iona Brown with us for many years. And so she and I, we cooperated for many years. Then the orchestra learned very much the English style of playing in orchestra, which at that time was sort of that the style everybody wanted to learn, with the academy and their years. Then when she left, then you can say we got more extreme. We have a sort of say that we want to stay with the tradition and develop that, but we also want to look at music in another angle, to confront the tradition. So it's a little sort of paradoxical attitude we have.
No. And how does this attitude go down in Norway?
I think Norway is a place that it hasn't got a cultural history like many other countries. It's sport-wise we have a history, but not cultural. So there is quite a big amount of open-mindedness. Maybe in bigger centres this would have been, that has a strong sense of tradition and culture, this, or a lot of the things we have done would have been more difficult.
You've brought a Danish composer with you for this prom. May I bring you in, Bent Sørensen, and we're going to have the UK premiere of your piece La Mattina this evening. Perhaps you could give us a little bit of an introduction to it and how it came about in the first place.
I worked with Leif Ove with another piece, a solo piece called The Shadows of Silence, and then we decided to do a piano concerto. Morning is a sort of a starting point for, I mean, you can say that every morning you can wake up and say, this is the first morning in the rest of my life. And so it's also a kind of life story, in a way. I think there's a journey of a life in it, because it goes out to some much lighter periods of time. It's like people who are running beside each other or something. And the pianist and the orchestra is sort of like two persons who are having a relationship. That's how I hear it. I always see music as when you have a pianist and an orchestra, and even the individuals in the orchestra, I start to think them as human beings. Not the musicians so much, but more their instruments. I mean, the musicians as well, of course, but more the sort of the feeling of that there is a story there. And music is such a wonderful art form to tell stories in, because nobody can control if it's wrong or right. And you don't have to kill anyone, or you don't have to make it excited another way. You just have to write something which is emotional. And the whole piece ends up with that this pianist or this piano or maybe one or two persons who is melded together in the concerto, they run away to somewhere, and the orchestra is disappearing until the very ending, where it gradually carries the head of the pianist. So it's a happy ending in a way. So that is, and then of course it's a Mozart orchestra. That was one of the ideas I had from the beginning, because when we talked about the concerto, I said, why don't we make one for the Mozart orchestra? So it's built at the same orchestration as Mozart number 17, which is my favorite piano concerto. And in that concerto too, there's a lot of breaks. The second movement of the number 17, if you listen to that, there is some fantastic pauses, which is very, very difficult to play because they are magic in itself. And if you make them too long, they disappear. The magic disappears. If you make them too short, the magic disappears. And in my case, when there's a lot of those small breaks in the piece, suddenly there is a little pause. There's nothing going on, and then you can. Yeah, that's it.
It was really interesting listening to the piece during rehearsals this morning in the hall, because a lot of the music is very, very quiet. You might grasp a little filigree phrase from somewhere, but I think we both felt that there were notes floating above us, coming from behind us. Playing it in this acoustic was really quite special.
Yeah, I think. This piece was sort of I wrote this in the music from before. I always see my pieces as, you know, you start something and then you're following something and then you go on to something else after a while. And this is sort of a starting point. It was a new piece for me, and it was like I wrote it during 2 years, and at the same time I wrote a very sad piece called Sounds Like You, which is a sort of a hopeless love story, a theater play taking place in a concert hall. And I think that is very much the opposite picture. I felt this wasn't. I know it's dark, and I've read some places it's my darkest piece, but it's also my most playful piece. It's more written by a teenager than a lot of the other pieces I've done when I was a teenager, and that time when this piece was done, what I'm working on now is very much to do with rooms, because I mean the piece Sounds Like You, as mentioned, is taking place in the concert hall, and I'm working very much with rooms, and I also feel that this piece has a spatial dimension, because there's so many things where when you hum a note with closed mouth together with a piano, then there comes a kind of deep perspective. So the sound suddenly goes somewhere else. And I think particularly in the beginning, when the violins are having this enormously long F sharp, who sometimes become an E, on top of the piano, it sometimes sounds that it's moving around in the hall. And I think the Royal Albert Hall is such a beautiful hall. It's a beautiful hall, but it's also a beautiful hall for soft music. You can hear everything everywhere, but you can hear it differently. And that means that it's a fantastic venue, because wherever you stand, wherever you sit, it's only you who get this experience. And I think we're so much used to put a CD in a CD player and then sit down and listen to everything. We listen to the same, we're seeing the same. And then you can actually, with music, of course, we never know. I never know what you hear. I mean, that's the magic about music. We can talk about it, but we don't know what we've been hearing. In this hall, it's really individual.
Terje and Isabel, both as violinists, you both had the opportunities of playing this piece. What's it like to play?
Well, it's damn hard to hum and play at the same time. And then you've got these claves and do that as well. I mean, it's all very complicated, but it pays off. And it's, it sounds ridiculous. It's great fun, but it's wonderful to follow that shape and follow the atmosphere and be part of it. But it's a tricky piece.
Isabel, you're leading it tonight, but Terje, you've been part of it in the past.
Yes, and the experience being a musician, and especially in a piece like this, is a little stronger than what you expressed before, that you are geographically on one place, so you see everything from this part. So I had the opportunity to hear this piece when it was first performed. And in a way, that was a greater experience, because then I can have it all. Mm-hmm. By playing, then you just get your personal part and your surroundings from a particular angle.
We keep sort of talking about, and the pianist tonight is, of course, Leif Ove Andsnes, and there isn't anyone I've spoken to today who hasn't had the most glowing things to say about him. He brings so much to the music, and has a very special relationship with the orchestra.
Yes, he's been our guest leader for quite some years. So he has meant a lot to the orchestra, both as inspirator and also getting the orchestra out of Norway.
There aren't too many pianists who would have been happy after your performance of the Four Seasons at the 100 Club last night to then go on in T-shirt and jeans and say, I'll just play four Chopin waltzes. And then that was followed by two movements from the Brahms G minor quartet as well. So he's very special in personality as well as what he brings to the music. And he was also saying to me this morning about when he saw the score for La Mattina for the first time, how he's struck by its difficulty. And then it opens up into this dreamlike landscape. So the relationship between you and him has been vital in developing just what you wanted to achieve, Bent Sørensen.
Yes, definitely. I think it's for me, I think it's very important when you work with... It's difficult to write a piano concerto and think, but who can play it afterwards? I mean, it's a gift to work with Leif Ove, because he's just an amazing musician, and because he's so devoted to the music and to create, to try to find the spirit, not only to find the spirit I want to express, but sort of saying to himself, I want to have that feeling. And I think that's when you become a great, great musician. It's not only to say I'm trying to do what the composer wants, but I'm actually want to try to be the composer. I mean, I always think that, and that's not only Leif Ove, it's also the Norwegian Chamber Orchestra. Now I can say something nice to them, because it's very few orchestras where you actually feel that you have a feeling that everyone is a part of the same body. I mean, it's not only me and then Isabella Terry who's leading, and then Leif Ove playing the piano. It's everyone who's sort of saying, we are together, we are doing this. And even as a composer, it's very difficult to feel that you become a member of creating something. And I think that has also to do with the fact that when music is created, and it doesn't matter if it's me or if it's Mozart or Chopin or Grieg or who else it is, there is a moment where the composer gets the thought, the idea, the feeling, the music in his head, and then he goes down to the pencil, his hand, he goes down to the paper, and then the musician come take the paper, go to his hands or voices, and go to his mind, and then it comes out as music. And if you have the feeling that the link is very, very short, that you actually have the feeling that when a violin player is taking the bow to the string, or a pianist is putting the fingers, that is the same movement as when I put it on paper, then you are happy. And I think that's experienced both with Leif Ove and the orchestra.
One of the pieces this evening, there will be no paper in front of you. Grieg's Holberg Suite is so much ingrained in your national soul that the orchestra plays it from memory and standing up. It's a very, very rich experience listening to it this morning. What does Grieg mean to you? How many hours have you got?
Well, it's of course one of our national pieces, so it's very nice for us to play it, especially abroad. And it's a piece that you, in its simpleness, it's a piece that you, sorry, that you don't easily get tired of. So you can play it up and up again, and it still has its values. He's a very open, emotional composer, Grieg, we find.
The Norwegian Chamber Orchestra has got a particular version of the Holberg Suite. which I'm very sorry to say we're not going to see in its entirety tonight, but you have a particular version which you commissioned a choreographer.
Yes, we. I've been occupied with the energy and how classic musicians turn out for an audience, and especially a classic orchestra seems very sort of shut out of what's happening, of the whole thing. It's not like in a theater where the actors play directly to the audience. And an orchestra tends to look sort of closed, and the music has a lot to do with it. The conductor with his back to the audience, and the musician all glooming at the music they have in front of them. Something is missing. And then we experimented first with playing this piece by heart. And suddenly there was an enormous amount of energy. And in the beginning, we didn't know what to do with this energy. So then we got a choreographer to make us use up the rest amount. So we danced and played the piece together. And it actually worked.
So all the musicians were dancing and playing at the same time. Next time you come to the Proms, you have to do this. Isabel, as a non-Norwegian playing Grieg, but playing it with a lot of Norwegians, does it have a different feel for you?
Well, it made me nervous in the beginning because I thought they must know better. But I have always said that Russian music is not just for Russians, and it's rubbish that, you know, Dutch musicians can play Dutch music very well. So luckily music is so international, so universal that goes over the borders. And but saying this third movement, you can feel, I think, the and there are a couple of fiddlers in the orchestra, violinists, that do play the Norwegian folk music. So there is definitely something to it. But I would say, in the fourth movement, the air, it doesn't really matter whether you're from China or Holland.
The Mozart piano concerto in the second half of the concert, Leif Uwe directs from the keyboard, so he'll have his back to the audience, and it looks rather as if he's sort of driving a car in the middle of the players. And he was talking about the challenges of being the conductor and the pianist within that. How is it for you, knowing that he's got a lot of pressures on him as soloist?
But we help an awful lot. I mean, obviously, it's more leading than, you know, he hasn't got an extra responsibility because everybody knows exactly what is going on. And, of course, rehearsals, but also what we just spoke about, the commitment helps very much to really keep it together and to get the energy, you know, take away a little bit of pressure from him and get it out to the audience. So I think it works wonderfully well. Without conductor. And anyway, I don't want to say anything negative about conductors, but to have the experience in general with this orchestra to play without conductor, again, it's like playing by heart. It's one factor that can distract less. So there's more chance for energy or for something very special to happen. And people listen more carefully, musicians listen more carefully, and there is more space for input as well from the musicians.
Our perception here in the UK of the Norwegian music scene is that it's a hotbed of talent and there's constant creativity going on. Is this true?
Yes.
Terje?
Yes, it's maybe the sport factor and the good money that's done a lot. Also Grand Prix now. You can't get a sort of small fiddle for kids anymore because they're all sold out. Because we won Grand Prix last year.
The Alexander Rybak effect.
They all want
effect.
To play, yeah. Yeah.
That's a good thing.
Yeah, it's a good thing, anyway.
Where would you like things to go with the Norwegian Chamber Orchestra? What ambitions do you have for it?
Well, I would like it to develop itself as an important institution of classic music in Norway and abroad. This is very general. It sounds, you know, it's saying like nothing, but it's hard to specify that. I think in our way we want to keep tradition and develop the tradition. And on the other side, the paradoxical side is then to attack the tradition, and then to create fertilizer for new ways to look upon the history.
And I've no doubt that the orchestra will continue to create a history of its own, bearing in mind everything we've heard over the last couple of days from them. I was talking to Terje Tønnesen, Isabel van Keulen and the composer Bent Sørensen earlier on at the Royal College of Music. And welcome back from me, Fiona Talkington, to the Royal Albert Hall, where the Norwegian Chamber Orchestra is just preparing the ground for part two of tonight's prom. Leif Ove Andsnes will be soloist and director of the orchestra in Mozart's Piano Concerto No. 24. But before that, they're on home territory, playing Grieg, his Holberg Suite, or to give it its correct title, From Holberg's Time, Suite in the Olden Style. Ludvig Holberg was a Norwegian playwright and philosopher who was born in Bergen, Grieg's own home city, in 1684. 200 years later, a committee was formed to coordinate some bicentenary celebrations, and Grieg, who was an eminent composer with his piano concerto and the music for Peer Gynt behind him, was asked to write a piece. In fact, he was asked to write a cantata to be sung outdoors during the unveiling of a statue in the main square in Bergen. What Grieg actually completed, though, was a 5-movement piano suite, which he later orchestrated using French Baroque dance forms, a sarabande, a gavotte, an air, and a final rigodon. Well, there are only chairs for the cellists on the stage. The rest of the orchestra is going to be a band playing right at the front of the stage, standing up and from memory. Grieg's Holberg Suite.